I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. We are live in Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. This show is brought to you by DraftKings. The draft itself is coming up in the NFL, 60 hours from right now, Pauly, live on the air. And Ross Tucker joins the program now. He is a dynamite calling games, NFL analyst, podcasts on X, the whole thing. You can follow him there at Ross Tucker NFL. Get the Even Money podcast as well. He's on the Progressive guest line. Ross, good morning, pal. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Yeah, my pleasure. Great to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We talked about your tweet earlier on in the show. I think what you said yesterday on X sums up the state of the NFL draft at this point better than anybody else, when you basically said anything can happen. Just found out right now, breaking news, this team wants to trade up, yet they want to trade back. Hold on a second here. They might make a pick. It feels like we're getting more nonsense this year than ever before.
Yeah, I think that's just the nature of the animal, right? And I hope everybody knows that it's totally a joke. I wasn't actually talking to any team about that. Those are the only options. And by the way, if you have a GM of a team that's not exploring all those options, what's he even doing, right? I mean, if you're a GM of a team, you should at least do some legwork ahead of time to try to get an idea for what it would take to move up to certain spots for certain players, what it would take to move down if you don't like who's still on the board. I mean, these are things that you need to do ahead of time and do the legwork to see about what it would take to move around. Obviously, you're strongly considering who you think will be available there when you draft as well. That's a big part of it also. So it was a joke, of course. I didn't actually have a team tell me that. I don't need a team to tell me that. They're pretty much all doing that right now. And if they're not, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm. And the games begin at number two. And once Washington makes the pick, then we could possibly see all these trades happen. And then when it gets pretty chaotic, do you agree with that? And then because, I mean, Arizona said we're open for business, but we'll trade when we're on the clock.
Right. So it would be a major upset, I think, if the Commanders did not make a pick at number two. I think where it gets a little bit interesting is the Patriots at three. We all expect the Cardinals at four to trade down to, you know, with somebody that wants to move up, mm-hmm. whether it's the Vikings or the Broncos for that quarterback. But what if the Patriots do it? What if the Patriots say, you know what? We got a lot of holes to fill. We're going to go ahead and we're going to get a trade down. And maybe they feel like they can trade back up. Maybe they can yes. feel like they can trade down to 11. And still get the quarterback that they want. Maybe it's Penix or Bo Nix or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios. I think we don't know who the Commanders will take it to. I strongly believe it's Jaden Daniels. And then at three, that's when it gets interesting. I have a tough time picturing the Patriots passing on a quarterback, but if someone was able to sweeten the pot enough, it's certainly possible.
Well, is there a chance? Okay, I want to go back to something you said 2 seconds ago. What if they stay at number three, Ross, but the pick is not quarterback? Who would it be at that point?
No, that's not happening.
Not going to happen. No chance.
If I would bet a lot of money, and I'm on Follow the Money right now, that's not going to happen, right? I mean, if you're the Patriots, if you're taking a guy at three, it's a quarterback. Otherwise, they're trading down, right? I mean, there's enough other good players at receiver or offensive line that they can trade down and still get a starter, but get a king's ransom from the Vikings or the Broncos or maybe even the Raiders for one of those teams to move up for one of these quarterbacks. So that would probably be the only scenario that would totally, utterly shock me, would be if the Patriots took somebody at three and it wasn't a quarterback. That's not happening. They're taking a quarterback at three or they're trading down.
Okay. Then, pretend the Cardinals trade out, like you said. Then in theory, the Chargers would be on the clock at number five. Assuming they stay put and don't move back, who do they take?
That is a really interesting one. I do believe that there's a decent chance that they would strongly consider moving back, right? And still getting, an elite player, whether it's Brock Bowers or one of the receivers or an offensive lineman, but then maybe grabbing a few more second-round picks so that Harbaugh can bring in some more of these Michigan guys like Sanistrill or Junior Colson or whatever. So I think if it unfolds that way, I think there's a decent chance the Chargers trade down. If they don't, man, I still think it's offensive line. Unless this whole thing's been a smokescreen, right? About how important the offensive line is. They moved on from Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Or maybe they did that because they were setting up the fact that they knew they could take a receiver very high in this draft and get that position. That's one of the most fascinating spots to me, right? Because it feels like at that spot, the Chargers should take a receiver. They need a receiver. They've got Justin Herbert. But that also sort of would go against what it feels like Jim Harbaugh believes.
We talked to you during the college football season. You called all these big games, and you love Bowers. But with the way things are trending now with the tight end position, and we thought he was going to be a top five pick when he was dominated in college, the Jets are in win-now mode. He could be the pick there at 10. Maybe he could fall to Denver, or could the Bears shock the world at 9? What do you think? Where do you think Bowers goes, and how well he'll translate to the NFL game?
I think he will translate very, very well. I think if we just talked about him like he was a slot receiver and played slot receiver, if you just looked at his numbers and called him a slot receiver, he'd be one of the best receivers in the draft. I mean, what he was able to do at Georgia, guys, as a true freshman tight end, he led them in receptions. You go back and look at that team, they had like Jermaine Burton, Adonai Mitchell. I mean, they had a bunch of these guys that are going to get drafted pretty high in this draft. I think he's a phenomenal football player.
Yep.
I think people are overthinking it with this positional value stuff a little bit. I think he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowl caliber player, a difference. I mean, guys, look at the conference championship games. The Lions with Laporta, the Niners with George Kittle, the AFC Championship game. You obviously had Travis Kelce. You have Mark Andrews for the Ravens. You know, it's pretty clear that if you have a really good receiving tight end, that makes a huge impact on the rest of the offense. And, you know, these playoffs proved it again. I think I'd be surprised. I think the floor for Bowers is 15 with the Colts, but that would surprise me. I think somebody else, you know, whether it's the Jets or the Chargers or somebody else, drafts him before them.
Okay. The favorite for the Cowboys, and by the way, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Ross Tucker, on X, at Ross Tucker NFL. host of the Even Money podcast. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Where the Cowboys are picking the favorite here, Ross, is offensive line, but it's Jerry Jones. You know how he loves it, to have his toys on this team offensively. Would you be stunned if he goes in a loaded wide receiver class, if he goes with that position?
I don't think I'd be stunned by anything Jerry Jones does, other than I'd be stunned if he doesn't take a running back on Friday night, day two, rounds two and three. They need a running back desperately. They're not going to take one in the first round, but I would imagine they would take one on Friday night, rounds two or three. You know, I think he's been better about it as of late, having CeeDee Lamb, having Brandon Cooks. I don't think he'll go there at receiver. I also think that'd be kind of sending the wrong message to CeeDee Lamb as it relates to his contract situation. So I would think offensive line in round one for the Cowboys. I'd be a little surprised if it's not.
As a man who played that position, offensive line, and there are a lot of them here who can go in the first round. I think that prop, by the way, is 9.5. Is Joe Alt clearly the best guy at that position, or is there somebody else that's pretty close to him?
Well, you know what it is? It's kind of like ice cream flavors, right? And I think we all have our own biases. And for me, I am biased towards offensive linemen that really get after people, that are really trying to physically punish them. So I love Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. I love Troy Fatanu from Washington. You know, they're a little bit more the style that I like. I think Alt is probably a little bit more polished, and he's so young. I don't know if you guys have seen him. He looks like he's 15 years old. He's 21. He's got this baby face on this huge body. I think Alt will be the first guy off the board. He's probably not my favorite guy to watch, but he's probably the safest.
All right, Mother's Day is coming up. It's on May 12th. You've told us before about something that you're involved with. It's a great idea, awesome for this time of year. Go ahead, tell our audience why MyFrontPageStory.com is such a great spot to go.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys know I'm passionate about it. First of all, the number one pick in every draft is your mom, okay? Moms are the greatest thing of all time. So get them something that they deserve. Get them something truly unique, cool, different for once this year. It's called MyFrontPageStory.com. You talk to a writer for, I don't know, 10 minutes while you're driving home from work, or you fill out an email. Guys, they write this unbelievable story. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. It's framed. It's beautiful. And just being able to give it to your mom and say, Mom, I want to do something special. So I had a story written about you. I can almost guarantee that your mom will cry. I'll be shocked if she doesn't cry. Or get it for your wife. Nobody knows what to get their wife for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. MyFrontPageStory.com. MyFrontPageStory.com.
Awesome, Ross, as always. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the draft.
Absolutely. You guys as well. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you.
Up next, before the draft gets here, there was one set of power ratings I saw. I can't believe they had this team in the top five.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
For a limited time, offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up, VSiN.com/splits. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out future events as well. Limited time offer, VSiN.com/splits.
How much do you think we know as of right now for the draft? Williams 1.
Daniels 2.
Daniels 2, and that's pretty much it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I will disagree with Ross. I think the Patriots are a total unknown. What could happen? Nothing would surprise me with the Patriots.
Same here.
And I cannot believe what's gone on and the bad mouthing of Belichick and the stuff. I mean, Michael Silver. So you had the report from Albert Breer about the Crafts are involved and the Patriots could be wheeling and dealing, yep, whatever. And Michael Silver tweets, yeah, they're taking back control of the organization. As if Belichick didn't have any success. You know, it goes back to the report, and I can't wait to talk to Lombardi in studio Friday, because Lombardi was mentioned and quoted in the article about what was going on with Atlanta. But, well, you know, Belichick was arrogant when he came in. He's won 8 Super Bowls. Of course he's going to have an ego and have some arrogance around. I mean, give me a break. What's going on in with the Crafts in New England?
The whole thing drives me insane.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. You won for 20 consecutive years in the NFL.
You were in the AFC title game every year.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sick of it. Don't like it. Nope.
We're getting control back, guys. We can finally do what we want.
It was tough to deal with. Never had a warm conversation with them. Kind of a put-off. I mean, give me a break.
I love that they're something that's getting played now, like in between commercials on the network. When Michael Lombardi went on a rant, I think it was last week, about the Falcons, and they leaked that out. That information got out that Bill Belichick was not one of the top 3 finalists for their job, and Lombardi just shredded him. He goes, then when you go 7-10 this year and you go absolutely nowhere, it's going to come back and you're going to look like a total buffoon. You've never won anything. This guy's won all those Super Bowls. That's fine. If you don't want him in your top 3, that's fine. But to make that publicly known, you are a complete asshat.
Yeah.
For leaking that information.
Yeah, you're bragging about that. That doesn't make any sense.
That's an idiotic move to make on your part.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some pre-draft and pre-schedule. Well, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, because I was going to say 1-2 is the only thing I'm sure of, just because of the trade possibilities.
Nothing surprises me with New England. I can't, right. Paul, I could not agree with you anymore on that.
No, I feel confident it's Alt at 5 and Neighbors at 6. But then you throw the trade scenario in there. It's one trade changes everything.
I think the scenario exists where the Vikings don't have to trade up from number 11 to take a quarterback.
That's in play, yeah.
And if they don't trade up, I love what Charchin told us last week again. They'll take a defensive player. They can grab a quarterback maybe a little bit later on. These are some power ratings. Pro Football Focus put them together. Pre-draft power ratings for this upcoming season. Chiefs number 1, no argument. Niners number 2. Ravens number 3. I think, in any order, you could probably say that makes a lot of sense to me. Number 4 is where I just kind of shook my head. I'm like, wow, they had a terrible offseason. I can't trust this team at all. I don't like them at this point. They're really going to have a great draft coming up. They have Dallas number 4.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Ahead of the Eagles.
Yeah.
At number 5, they have the Texans number 6, Dolphins number 7, they have the Lions number 8. Cowboys 4 spots better than the Lions right now? They have the Packers 15th.
Wow. That's crazy. After what happened in the playoff game.
They have the Packers below the Jags, the Browns, the Seahawks, and the Colts. Packers worse than the Colts. Whew, man. I'm not going to be super high in Green Bay this year. They're better than the Colts. They're better than Jacksonville. They have the Bengals 9th. They have the Bills 10th. Bengals are easily one spot ahead of the Bills at this point. Where are the Jets?
Yeah, where are they?
They got the Vikings 16th, the Rams 17th, Saints 18th. Hello, number 19, they have the Jets. The Jets are 19th, 12 spots behind the Dolphins and 9 spots back of the Bills. The Cowboys are 4th. In what world right now are the Dallas Cowboys the 4th best team in football? Come on. The other stuff, fine. Dallas, number four, I can't get there. Not a chance. Some of the other stuff, Adam Schefter's column, what he was hearing the buzz around yesterday. As you said earlier, cards are completely open for business. This is why it could be a total wrinkle, but they evidently don't want to do it until they're on the clock.
Yes,
I know. That's when they want to make the trade happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, nothing's going to happen until that pick is in at number two, and then the games begin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's something I had not realized. He points out, no matter where Harrison goes, the idea of him winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, Ohio State, going back to 2016, Joey Bosa, Defensive Rookie of the Year, 2017, Lattimore, 2019, Nick Bosa, 2020, Chase Young, 2022 was Garrett Wilson on offense. Last year, C.J. Stroud on offense. They've had six guys win either Offensive or Defensive Rookie of the Year since 2016. That is incredible.
That is strong.
The talent to come out of there.
Yep. Yep. But the other thing, though, is we sit here and we try to guess and what's going on and 3 days of speculation. This all could just be a complete do-over in a couple years and no one's right again and everyone whiffs. After the Zach Wilson trade, how about how that draft went? All those quarterbacks but one were traded and traded for nothing when you look at it. And then how the Jets handled this the last couple years, and they refused to punt on the kid even though he was telling you who he was from day one and couldn't play.
Yeah.
They drafted him second overall. They spent all last offseason trying to replace him, sent two second-round picks and a pick swap to Green Bay, gave Rodgers all that money, and then they're still going to pay him money, and he goes to Denver, and they finally move on from him. And they could have probably made the playoffs, if not both years, at least one of them, if they had a decent replacement for Rodgers, or they didn't stick with him 2 years ago and stuck with Mike White,
yeah.
Or just had anybody else, for that matter, because you see how strong the unit is and the team is, the talent is, other than the quarterback position. Fields, Wilson, and everyone. And you have your...
Trey Lance!
No kidding. But even go back to Trevor Lawrence, who hasn't lived up to the hype. But it's like what Golic told us in Scottsdale. Six guys are going to go in the first two rounds, and three of them are going to be busts,
at least. Minimum three. That's the thing. Like, will NFL teams ever learn their lesson? I get it. It's the most valuable position in all of sports. And a bunch of teams are quarterback needy, for sure. It's going to be that way every single year. I remember the narratives around Zach Wilson 3 years ago this week. I never bought any of it. I mean, the pro day, going to the left, throwing back to the right, 65 yards on a dime. He's Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
That's what people were calling Zach Wilson. It was made up nonsense. Jets bit. They fell for it. And that kid's already on a second team, can't play a lick in the NFL. The Trey Lance stuff, I was on the air begging the 49ers to take Kyle Pitts. Would have changed the world in the NFL with that offense. Pitts, Kittle, all their weapons, Samuel, what it turned out to be, would have been unstoppable on offense, better than it already is. Nope. They took Trey Lance, a kid who had played 1 year going back, and took the entire, like, he hadn't played an NFL game in more than 430 days, I believe, before the draft. That's the guy we got to take. He's worse than Zach Wilson. Can't play.
Yeah.
It's eerily similar here with somebody like J.J. McCarthy. Sorry, just is.
I don't think Mac Jones can play either, although you could pin some of that on the coaching and what happened as well, and then lack of weapons around him. I don't think May will be a good pro. I don't like McCarthy.
Yeah.
I do like Penix, and I'm not there with Knicks. So I am strong on Daniels and Williams, though, but it's probably going to be three good players and three guys who can't play.
Yep. Now, how about this on the Seahawks? Because there was that connection there.
Yep.
They brought in Grubb, the OC from Washington.
Yep.
Penix's OC last year. You thought that idea going back 2 months made sense for that team to be interested in Michael Penix. That team has drafted two quarterbacks in 15 years with John Schneider as GM, Russ Wilson and Alex Magoo.
Come on.
Seattle hasn't taken a quarterback in the first round since they drafted Rick Meyer in 1993. They traded for Sam Howell. Sam Howell, don't mock him at this point because he is the same age as Penix and Daniels. He's 1 year younger than Bo Nix. He's already got a full season under his belt. I know it did not look pretty for much of that season. But also the angle here with Rams GM Les Snead. He was a GA at Auburn in 1993. Patrick Nix led that team to an 11-0 season. Of course, he's the father of Bo Nix. There's that connection there. And the Rams evidently might have some interest in Bo Nix. Not in the first round, but maybe a little bit later on.
That's not bad. Okay.
I could see that happening.
Yes.
A report came out yesterday, though, that the Raiders still gung-ho on trying to trade up to take Jaden Daniels at number two.
Well, they're another wild card as well. But I know what it was like when they had I guess it was easy for you to call. But when it was Gruden and Mayock, it was just we're going to go Clemson or Alabama route, what they were going to do. But some of the puzzling moves they've made over the years, they're a wild card. Who knows what they're up to?
I wish Gruden and Mayock would have stayed with the Raiders for the next 20 years. Yeah. It was the easiest way to make money betting the draft. Up next, we will hit tonight's NBA playoff card. His numbers sound as if they're either made up or from a video game against tonight's opponent. But only one win in the last six playoff games. I'll tell you who that is next on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We have you covered Thursday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. Tim Murray, JVT, and the Golics. Deep dive into prospects and predictions and props. Special edition GM Shuffle, 8 p.m. Eastern. Michael Lombardi and Femi bring you a real-time analysis of first-round picks. Michael give his thoughts on every pick and trade as they happen. Special edition GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or the VSiN YouTube page. Cap off the night 11 p.m. Eastern with VSiN Tonight, where they wrap up all the first-round action and go over all the props that cashed and all the bets. VSiN.com/draft, and you got to read Human's mock. VSiN.com/draft.
Three games tonight in the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
All of these are game twos.
Yep, and it's perfect because all three games here involve a team that embarrassed themselves in game one.
Yeah, well, what do you think happened? I mean, the Clippers and Mavericks game in game one.
Well, they disrespected their opponent, and it was another example of you have to dial it up and take it up a notch because it's not the regular season anymore. Everyone's bringing their A game for the most part in the playoffs. And it was, well, Kawhi's not going to play and we're good.
How many times has that happened again this year?
Yep.
Where the opposing team gets news that a star player on their opponent's side is not going to be there. And it's just a total no-show.
And they relax and they, yep.
They couldn't shoot. Clippers couldn't miss. Perfect combination. And now in game two tonight, Matt, but here's the thing. They were taking money all week leading into game one. The series price kept moving in their direction, going up, up, and away.
That's the thing. It's the same thing with all three series. Everyone was making the case for Phoenix, and they went off a $1.40, $1.50 series price favorite. Everything flipped. Everyone making the case for Dallas, the uncertainty of Kawhi. No one picking the Clippers to win the series. Everyone picking Dallas and betting Dallas to win the series. And everyone in love with the Pacers because of the freak news.
I would say that, and this was brought up on the air last week, the two series prices that just got completely out of control. Even though I bet the Pacers, when it got to where it did before game one, that was a little too much of a flip. The same thing could have been said about the Suns-Wolves. And I kind of like the Suns in the series, but the Wolves went off as a dog. Doesn't mean they're going to win. They have the game two tonight, obviously. The Wolves went off as a small dog to win the series? And the Suns just kept taking money over and over and over again?
But if everyone's thinking alike, we're not thinking. That's the thing. But I know. I understand. But this is... But Phoenix also... had no problems with them in the regular season.
Right, just think about that.
But that's the regular season. But here, I bet Dallas, and I think they respond 8 points in a quarter. Come on.
Yeah.
And the supporting cast was atrocious. I also didn't think we were going to see James Harden from Houston, how well he played. But that, again, the Clippers have a good team and a good roster that's deep. So you see, a guy like Coffey can knock down shots. Zubac was great.
Oh, he's awesome.
Harden was awesome. George can play. Westbrook, ton of energy. You know, get the crowd juiced up and ready to go. So Kyrie was great. Luka played well, other than that second quarter. But if the others don't do anything and the lights are too bright, that's going to happen. But you cannot go down 0-2 if Kawhi Leonard's not going to play. Now, when's he going to come back? I don't know. I mean, this Paul George comment about we're going to have him back at some point. At some point.
Well,
I mean, this we're going to do this every year with this guy?
Yes, we are.
I mean, it's so
it's
unfortunate.
Never going to change.
I know.
It sucks because he's so good.
I know.
But I actually laughed out loud, no joke, when I saw that tweet come across yesterday. Kawhi Leonard, questionable for game two. I laughed. I'm like, is there any other option? Literally, there is no other option that exists. He's not doubtful. He's not ready to go. None of that. It's only questionable for him.
Yeah, I know. And upgraded in game one. First things first is he has to participate in practice with contact. That's the first thing. Until there's actually contact, then we can't say, well, he's coming back or he's getting close. And that's a big one right now.
Right. This I do know. The winner of this series, because if it's going to be the Clippers, and they were so impressive in game one, or if the Mavericks flip it and get back to what they were like in the previous month, there will not be a single human being, not many I should say, who will pick OKC to win the next series. It's going to be heavy, heavy. It's going to be an avalanche of predictions on the Mavericks or Clippers to advance.
Reminds me of the Atlanta Hawks team with Budenholzer. One of the most disrespected one seeds you're ever going to see. Yep, and they have a ton of talent, but they are young without experience.
No doubt.
But still, OKC's a very good team. Now, here's the one you were talking about. So, Phoenix swept Minnesota during the regular season. They outscored them by 47 points. You could not play two bigs at the same time. They killed them. I mentioned this yesterday on the show. Cat and Gobert, in 37 minutes, they were outscored by 24 points. When it was Gobert and Nas together, in 30 minutes, they were outscored by 39 points. They put them in a blender and went to work on them. But Phoenix is the worst fourth quarter team in the league, and that was a problem all season. In every game, Phoenix had a double-digit lead in the second half. But, adjustments, and now it's the playoffs. Now, what helped them was Grayson Allen rolled his ankle, so Cat didn't have to chase him around. But they didn't play Cat a lot of minutes, so they didn't play two bigs for a lot of the game. But also, which drives me nuts, Gobert's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. Minnesota is the number one defensive team in the league, and that was awesome. That was 1990, great basketball, great defense, smothering defense, Booker 5 of 16. We have so many guys that can defend and lock you up, and they did. Durant played well. Other than that, nothing really happened from Phoenix, and Edwards played like Michael Jordan.
I'm gonna
added up, body bagged them.
The phrase, their big three, it has driven me nuts for 20 years in the NBA. I hate it. Everybody does it for every single team. I can't stand it. The Minnesota Timberwolves are actually deep. That's refreshing. They have 10 guys that can play, maybe even more than that. And you always hear, like when the Phoenix Suns got Bradley, hey, they have their big three. What? Bradley Beal is a part of a big three? How? And what does that mean? With an aging Kevin Durant?
Oh, it's out of control.
Right?
The drug test, people need to be drug tested. I heard Steve Smith say Bradley Beal's a future Hall of Famer. The guy's made it to the conference semis one time.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing? But points in the paint, 52-34, rebounds 52-28.
They have a little bit of everything. And they have, again, I've been saying this since probably like January, elite defenders, to your point, all over the court.
Yeah.
Everybody. Those guys on the perimeter are exceptional, and it's a great combination. And they're the reason why Rudy Gobert is going to win Defensive Player of the Year. They're the reason why. To the guy I was talking about who has gone off against tonight's opponent, it's Luka. Great tweet from StatMuse. Last six, think about this for a second, last six playoff games against the Clippers, 35.5 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, 10 assists, one win.
Wow.
One win and those numbers.
Tyronn Lue's very good, and especially with matchups and, you know, in putting together a game plan. I love what they did, targeting him early defensively and putting him in screens and trying to wear him out.
Yep.
It's a great game plan. Then again, I never thought they'd score 8 points in a quarter, but because they were on that 16-2 run to close the year, and one of the losses Luka didn't play. But, you know, it's a different ball game now. It's a whole different animal in the playoffs. And you get some of these young guys without experience, and they need a diaper. And you saw that with some of this, too. I mean, how do you look at the Pacers? They went 4-1 this year against Milwaukee. And then they come out, and it's just, that's what they do. They take threes, and they're number two in pace, and they have the second best offense in NBA history. They're just taking some long threes, and nothing's going in. They look horrible.
They need Tyrese Halliburton to be the true catalyst of that team on offense.
I know he hasn't been the same player since the injury.
I don't want him taking a ton of threes.
No, I don't either.
I want him driving and getting everybody else involved.
Yeah.
Also, will the Bucks have any solution for Pascal Siakam? He was great in game one.
Yep.
And I don't anticipate Dame to go, 35 points, maybe in the game, but in the first half of the game, and it was over with pretty much at halftime, because he went, that was Dame time in Portland, the guy that we got. I expect him to be good, though, with no freak. I don't think, I mean, nobody's going to deny this. I mean, it didn't really work out as well as anybody thought it would between those two guys. That's what I'm talking about. Like a big three, right? They're bringing this guy.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to continue? I was going to say the thing I can't imagine, I can't believe, though, is not getting enough attention. They had the second best offense under Griffin. They're 18th under Doc.
Sure. Defense got a lot better.
A little bit, but that's shocking what's happened offensively under Doc. But that was good to see, though, with him in game one. The other thing, though, the pressure on Minnesota organization. I mean, this is, you've been out of the first round one time. I mean, this is big. Can you imagine if they go out and they can't win this series? They're only $1.50 adjusted series. So are the Clippers, which they have a 1-0 lead home court. Clippers have their star coming back at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised at that. But imagine that they're going to be huge changes if Minnesota can't get out of the first round. And I'd feel bad for that fan base. Only one time, when you had Garnett, you made the conference finals.
But when you're that deep and you have that many young guys still, you can't keep them together forever.
You can't pay those guys, though, either. They have, right. Yeah. And then you got that whole A-Rod Taylor thing that's going on.
I don't know. Maybe it's speaking to us again. Maybe it's just home teams win again, and all these unders keep coming in.
Yeah.
Is it really going to be that simple?
16 straight home teams have won.
And first half unders, 14-2-1.
God, that's nuts.
So far?
That is wild.
Numbers keep coming down. Adjustments not big enough.
Yeah. I know. And it's slowing down and no more crazy pace, and they're not calling anything.
Yeah. We'll recap some of what last night was an amazing night in sports. We'll recap a little bit of it and get you some updated numbers after last night next here on VSiN.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NBA through the finals. DraftKings has you covered. Same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, so much more. Updated series prices, great props. Download the Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Code VSiN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Last night was so good. That Sixers finish, at the same time pretty much, the Islanders were puking all over themselves, giving up that game to Carolina, and then the way the Lakers-Nuggets game played out as well. And the Lakers blew a 20-point lead in the third quarter and eventually lost the game because of a buzzer beater by Jamal Murray. Now, the Lakers, after the game, D'Angelo Russell, he was not happy with the officiating. LeBron said the replay center, why even have it? After he got scraped in the face at one point, never called the foul. And Anthony Davis said he walked off the podium. He literally dropped the mic after he said Jamal Murray made a shot and walked off the podium. They're complaining about the officials. Great tweet from Andy Bailey. The Lakers have led the NBA in free throw attempt differential in each of the last two seasons. Their total has more than doubled, second place in each of the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Net free throw attempts last two seasons. Lakers are number one overall, plus 983. Number two, the Heat, plus 386. That's ridiculous.
Yep. My comeback would be don't blow a 20-point third quarter lead.
Yep.
Don't score 40 points in the second half. You're too good. You have too much talent. So the other thing, though, is that I know they're going to be tough to beat because of that home record and the altitude, but it's not the same Denver Nuggets team. I still can't get over what happened, how they blew the one seed and lost a 20-point second-half lead to San Antonio. So Lakers are right there, though. But now it's just, can you beat them 4 out of 5, which is unlikely? And you're underdogs, even though you return home in game 3. But you played a good first half, a great first quarter in game 1, and you played a great first half last night. But it's not good enough against the champs. You got to play a full game. Mm-hmm. And to hold them to 101 points and not come out of there with a W, that's a tough one to stomach. But you have to look in the mirror. And you can't be like the Lakers and the 76ers and blame the officiating when you melt down like that.
Yeah, they had 3 guys play well last night. The starting 5,
yeah.
That's the biggest question mark, I think, for the Nuggets. They had, now they were not deep last year, but they had like a 7-man rotation this year. What are you going to get beyond the starting 5 in Denver?
Right.
That's the biggest question mark.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Joker just goes off. I mean, he had a double-double in the first quarter last night, and it was a 20-20 triple-double overall for the game. Maybe he just plays like that in every single game, regardless of the opponent, and you look at the end of this, at the end of the game, and it's like, oh, he's got 32, 17, and 12. Okay, no surprise.
Yeah. Can you imagine what Porter's going through? Maybe it's just, okay, now it's, I'm going to go in the, put the cape on and I'm fine and I'm going to be a professional and I'm going to block it out. But I can't imagine that you show up to work and you're not distracted when one brother is banned for life for betting on the NBA and the other brother's going to prison for 6 years for killing someone in a DUI incident.
Yeah.
I mean, that is and what he's been dealing with. He gave his all his teammates credit, saying, I also have 12 other brothers here, but that's, and he's a key part of the team.
No doubt.
But that's got to be playing tricks on you with what you're dealing with when you show up every day, what's going on in your personal life.
He was solid last night. He hit that big 3 to tie it up at 9.
Huge sequence, yes.
If he doesn't hit that 3,
it looks like a turnover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and he hits the 3 and ties it 95, yeah.
I will say this. So, again, we have 3 more round 1 game 2s tonight. Home teams off a game 1 win. That's now 33-7 straight up after last night. 28-12 ATS, 23-16-1 to the under. And these totals are getting adjusted big time. And so far, at some point, they're going to start going over because the adjustments are going to be so massive that it's just going to be inevitable. But right now, it's been a gold mine.
Yep. I like the Mavs, and I want to take Phoenix, but it's hard to get past what's happened here with the home records and the home teams.
Yeah.
You're right. It's staggering.
I totally agree with you. Of the 3 games that we have tonight, I really don't have interest in taking the Pacers. I don't want to add any more to that series bet that I already made.
Yeah.
But the other 2 teams, maybe I could see it happening. Adjusted series prices after last night. The Cavaliers are $7. You think that's way too short?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if Orlando can get a game. How are they going to score? They're going to come back and make this a series? They're completely overmatched. And this is also with Cleveland something to prove after what happened last year and getting embarrassed. Remember what Allen said after the loss?
Oh, yeah.
The lights were too bright, right? So they know. But they have too much talent and too much for Orlando.
Denver is an $11 favorite at DraftKings. On the take back, Lakers are 7-1. Can they make it? What's their reaction going to be after last night? How do they respond?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Is it a 5-game series, or are we going to, is this going to be tight the whole way and we're going to 7 here?
You never want to count out LeBron James, but knowing that they've lost 10 in a row to him, are they really think they're going to come back and beat the champs and make this a series? I guess the first half of game 3 will tell you. But this could be, it could go sideways in a hurry and they could punt.
Well, do you trust the others and D'Angelo Russell? Will the others bounce back and will Russell continue to play like this?
Not against the Nuggets, no. Not I can't do a snap call and say yes because it's just at home and the season's on the line. I can't. Not with Hachimura and Reeves and some of these other guys. Okay. Prince, I can't do it.
But you can with a team like Philadelphia.
Yes. Heald, Batum, some of these guys, they'll knock down open shots at home. I'm not saying you're going to get a repeat of Batum against the Heat.
Yeah, right.
No, but some of these guys will actually chip in and do something, unlike what's happened in the first two games in this Knicks series. You got any thoughts on the hockey? I want to see how Colorado responds. Now, Jonathan Davis, who's been on the show, he says it's over. He says Colorado's done. I said, why? He says, and we were on this all year, courtesy of Jonathan Davis, you could not score on Winnipeg. But when they scored, it was over. Winnipeg is 36-0 this year when they score at least four goals. And imagine what Colorado's thinking, that you put six past Hellebuck and you lose. So how does Georgiev respond? And then Dennis Bernstein pointing out they didn't make the goalie change because the backup was sick and the other guy never played in a playoff game before. But a 7-6 game in game one, and you put up a 6.5 here tonight in game two. But maybe it's just Colorado can't defend. It's a insane, huge goaltending mismatch with the Vezina Trophy winner against Georgiev. And maybe Winnipeg's too good, and they're going to score at least four every game. And that could be all she wrote. Maybe. Maybe. I also want to see what happens with Vancouver, because that place was on fire. That was their first home playoff game since 2015. They come out, they're losing, they're down with 8 minutes left, they win, cover the puck line. But Vancouver, it didn't work in game one. Vancouver has scored the first goal 53 times this year. And they have their number one in first period goals and plus 38 in goal differential. They are awesome when leading after the first period. See what happens in game two, how Nashville responds. Vancouver's 4-0 this year against Nashville and outscored them 17-8.
Yeah.
And Demko appears to be good after missing 14 games.
How about the price for game two now? At some spots, Nashville's high is plus 145.
That seems about right, though.
Is it? Okay.
Like Winnipeg, right? Winnipeg has buried them in every, they're undefeated against them and lit the lamp no problem in every game. The one close game was game one, but I guess it was a fluke that Hellebuck gave up six.
Oh, okay.
But they've had no problem scoring on Colorado this year.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, if they're going to score that many goals, you got to like their chances.
Yeah.
On the flip side, how about that defense, that goalie giving up six to Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Just speaks to how awesome they are on offense.
Yes.
When they
yes.
bring when they show up at their A game, I mean, it's just like nobody can really slow them down.
Yep.
Tonight, I would consider two dogs. I would consider Nashville, and I would consider Tampa Bay at a decent plus price against Florida. And that was, you want to talk about a must-win game last night, in my opinion, it absolutely was the Leafs. And credit to them for coming from behind to winning that game. I think that series was going to be over with. I don't think they were going to win four out of the next five against Boston. But to get that win, and now at DK, Boston's minus 120 to win it, and the Leafs are even money. Now just go out there and do it again. Win game three at home and give your fans something really to be excited about. Don't be the same Toronto team from, you know, every generation previous to this one.
Now what does Montgomery do? I don't understand this playing games with the goaltending.
Neither do I.
Stick with the hot hand. That's not the reason you lost. But also, what does it mean in the dressing room and the effect it has on the team? Now you go back to Swayman? Stick with the guy who's hot and ride him. If you keep winning, stick with the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand a rotation in the playoffs. I don't get it at all. It doesn't make any sense. Huh? Well, we're just going to rotate, guys. And you didn't do it last year, and it's a reason you lost. But now you're going to do it this year? After the guy was so good in game one? You know, good bounce back, too, from Samsonov as well. But it's just, it doesn't make any sense how Montgomery's going to handle this now and just rotating goalies.
Up next, Matthew Friedman's going to join the program. He is with Fantasy Life. He's going to hit the NFL draft with us. And he's not buying into five or six quarterbacks going in the first round. He'll explain why next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.